Ahoy there. Ever dream of becoming a pirate? Good at programming? Or a potato? Well, you can be all three, you know.
Captain, the enemy attacked our ship for 2 times since our ship has less than 6 potato pirates on board.
What? Darn the loops and conditionals. Time to strike back with some swashbuckling functions. Ready the cannons and cue the music. Yarr!
If you're looking for a new, old, or even some forgotten passion, well, you've come to the right place. Better drink up some passion potion and listen up, because the show's about to begin.
Passion Fruit Podcast. You are listening to Passion Fruit Podcast. Passion Fruit Podcast.
You're now listening to the Passion Fruit Podcast, only on Spotify.
Welcome to the Passion Fruit Podcast. SG, I'm Sif.
I'm Hakib.
I'm Nas.
And I am Gordon.
Wait, are you guys all fans of board games?
Of course. Yes.
Yeah, bro. I mean, it's damn fun playing board games with your friends and family. And what makes it more worth is the useful skills that you can learn from it. You can become a spy in a German camp, a detective trying to crack code. You know, buying properties, getting rich with fake money.
That's right.
And breaking friendships are so true. Uno.
Breaking friendships are... What was the game again?
Uno,
correct. Not sponsored. Yeah. And all these do have qualities that you could replicate in your life.
Yep.
Well, why don't we know more about this special board game, about becoming pirates in their pirate ships, plundering other players, and all that while being a potato.
Nice. Yeah.
What makes it a must-play for everyone in this world is the opportunity to learn about a special set of skills that's very relevant to the current digital age of mankind today. We have a guest here with us who's multi-talented. He is the lead illustrator of Potato Pirates Battleships board game from Kodomo Private Limited. Ladies and gents and couch potatoes, please welcome Gajandran.
Hey. Thank you guys.
Welcome Gajandran to Passion Fruit Podcast.
Thank you guys for having me.
How are you doing, bro?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Yeah, good.
We just finished playing a game of battle potato chips, blah blah blah.
Battle chips.
Bro. Say it right.
Sorry, it was a tongue twister.
Yeah, so we've heard about like this game from your site, because I've seen you posting all this in your Insta story.
Yeah.
And I said, like, hey, siya la. It's quite cool, siya. Then, like, because one thing that is relevant to me is because, like, hey, programming, something that I hate so much that I like it. So, like, hey, siya, why not we have this, you know, talk about it? Because I don't think there's any board game that actually
teaches coding.
Yeah. And it's fun. Because coding is not fun for me. So why not we just invite the guy who is part of the whole process of making the game. And I mean, come on guys, it was in Kickstarter for, I think the pledge was 15k.
Yeah.
Right. And it got that pledge within 30 minutes.
Ooh.
What other Kickstarter board games that has that? Yeah.
No.
I mean,
yeah,
that's exactly. A bit more, but this is like,
this is the best, really.
This
that's why we have him here.
Yeah, man.
It's very rare.
Yeah, it's fucking rare. And it's also like in Singapore based. So it's like, I think this opportunity cannot be missed, especially like something like this.
Yeah.
And I think people who never play the game or never pledge the game in Kickstarter, they are missing a lot.
Yeah.
And they are, I think they are like almost 1,000% pledge, really.
Yes. We raised about 180,000.
Wow, holy shit.
Wow.
Yeah, 180,000. But what's even funnier is this is the lowest we've got.
Huh? Oh, shit.
Wow.
This is the lowest? This is the lowest compared to the other two games that came out before.
Oh, okay.
The first game got pledges of up to 250,000. And then the second one is about 260,000, if I'm not wrong. If I'm
saying wow.
And then this one was 180. So it's not that.
Oh, shit.
Up to par.
Yeah. So you guys expected more from this?
Yes, we did. It was kind of a bit of a disappointment because our goals were already set up by the previous game.
Right.
So like our pledge, yes, it was there. But then when we when we reached the point where we couldn't, like, we start to see the pledges getting, like just stale, right? Like, it's not going up or down. Mm. So after that, it was like, oh, it's okay. I mean, still managed to get a good amount of pledges.
Yeah. I mean, you guys already had plans, like, every... I see, like, you guys got, like, some milestones whenever some...
It's we call it, like, social goals. So basically, it's just to kind of motivate people to, like, pledge some more so that once they reach that goal, we can release a certain item. Let's say maybe gold foil cards or, like, customized, like, tokens for the game. Like,
Also, like, special edition, limited edition.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, cool. I mean, I think right now people can still pledge it, right?
In Kickstarter, no. But, like, since we're already having it manufactured, it will be more available on our website itself. So you can just kind of go there and buy it anytime.
Okay.
Do you mind sharing the website?
It's potatopirates.game.
Let's go, guys!
Yeah!
So placing, I think, 10 orders today.
Yeah, 10 orders for each of us.
Great. Yeah. Amazing.
So 10, so that is... Can I 250?
Okay. Yeah.
But I think before we start, like, what is Potato Pirates Battle Chips?
Okay. Well, before that, I would have to kind of explain the first game. Because it's kind of like a second sequel to the first one. Mm. So the first one is basically Potato Pirates Coding Card Game. Mm. So the idea behind that was to kind of make programming concepts more easier to understand, mainly for kids. Like, because since programming is now like a coming up topic in today's time, and we want it to be something easy for people to understand. Because the moment programming comes up, people just immediately like, oh, it's too hard. Yeah, exactly. So what they were thinking of, these were done by four SUTD students, by the way. they had their project after they graduated, and then they decided to make up this game.
So it's like a maiden project for them.
Yeah, that branched out into something big.
All right, nice.
So what it does is basically teach you very simple concepts like 4x amount of times do this, that kind of thing. Like, for 2 times, you attack this person 3 times. Like, that kind of thing.
Okay.
It's kind of teaching the concepts of like how for loops...
Gordon blank already. I can see
smoke coming out. PTSD from it.
Because
I also took Python class in studies, and shit, the thing was hard.
Yes.
I wish I should have purchased this sooner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just like nodding to understand.
you can still purchase it at potatopirates.game, bro.
Yeah. Exactly. So, like, stuff like for loops, while loops, all this kind of stuff is get covered in the game. And it's kind of, we even did like a little survey with like the people that we played with, asking them if they understood what the concepts were. So like, we even time boxed it, and they were able to understand like while loops, for loops, if else, all this within 30 minutes. Like,
wow.
That's why we kind of like pride ourselves in like, oh, people can understand programming concepts with this game. So basically, coming back to the question, Battle Chips is a second addition to that game where the concept is about the same, but we started expanding into more concepts like what's the other ones? Like recursion. I can't remember all of them.
Basically, it's like a lot more syllabus added, lah.
Yes, more syllabus added, trying to make gamifying it into the game, trying to make people understand what the thing is about. Yeah.
Do you think people who know about programming, like, will they, like, when they play it, can they also understand, or is it too basic for them to... Is there something new for, like,
definitely. Because, like, the best example is me. Because I have no coding background at all. And then when I came in, everyone in, like, the company was, like, talking... This was during the part where they were developing the game already, and they were having all kinds of like coding talk. I don't know how to say.
Different language, like, for you already. Yeah.
Like when they talk about like, oh, if else, all this stuff, what I don't understand, because I have to make the art for most of them, so I have to kind of have an understanding of what it is in the first place.
Also, you also have to know like how does it work.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you actually have to try out coding
No, I don't have to try coding. I had to play a lot of the games that we made.
Okay.
So that's how I kind of understood exactly how it worked and like the concept. So if someone were to tell me like the while loops and all this, I would immediately kind of know what exactly is, what are they talking about and stuff like that.
So if someone to ask you like, how does while loop, so can you actually answer them like on the spot?
In a technical term, probably not.
But from a board game.
Yeah, I can tell you like it's supposed to keep going on until the command is done, I guess.
Right.
Correct. 10 points.
I don't know. Yeah, still.
Because from what I understand, also like in C sharp, they also have like this while for loops as is if else. And
it's,
I think, to be honest, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much fundamental.
And I think for that part, because I'm not a coding guy, but I still learn it. It took me like actually a month to understand everything. And to think that within 30 minutes, you can grasp the basic structure of like coding, I think that's pretty amazing, bro.
Yeah. I also think
it's worth $1 million, Jay.
I'm sure we hope so. Soon or not. But like, basically, Battle Chips is an expansion to that. Firstly, the first game, it was very much casual because like the potatoes, we didn't really give much backstory to like the characters, the world building, blah, blah, blah. But Battle Chips, we dwell more into it. Like, we made our own characters. Each character has their own unique traits, their own unique powers that you can use during the game and stuff like that.
So you select your own character before you? Play,
yeah, you got like a few set of characters that you can choose when you're playing the game.
I know one. Carrot the Parrot or Parrot the Carrot.
Yes, it's Carrot the Parrot. Yeah. So that was a running joke in our company because it's like we all couldn't like come up with what the name would be. So it was either Parrot the Carrot or Carrot the Parrot.
So is it a carrot that looks like a parrot or a parrot that looks like a carrot?
It's more like a parrot that looks like a cat.
So you guys have any like difficulties in, you know, in an argument about this one is a parrot, not bro, this one is carrot. So just listen to our website.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is coming from the guy who is a lead illustrator, man.
Yeah.
I mean, can't argue with him, man.
I would have to say for the concepts most otherwise is mainly done by one of the intern artists. His name is Ikai. Oh. He did most of the concepts of the characters, the different captains that you get to use. I'm the kind of person that brings life into it, the drawings, the coloring, that part.
How do you play Battle Chips again? Like, is it like a round robin thing?
Round robin meaning like
how do you play it in general?
Oh, it's basically it's a turn based thing, where the first person to go is like, we kind of made it simple, like the last person who ate fries or something. That's like the first person. And then how it works is basically you have like a bunch of cards in your hand already, and you have ships that you want to put your cards underneath. And when your turn comes, you get to choose which ship you want to attack.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically using the coding fundamentals, like the same as the first game where you're like using for 2x attack, 3 damage. I mean, like use 3 damage kind of thing. You kind of direct it. You get the energy. And then by the end of the game, you just want to be the last person standing. And all of them have life also, like 20 potatoes, 20 potatoes.
Oh, like the monster, your shield. 5 shields.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, that sounds cool though.
Yeah.
Okay, but you know, being a lead illustrator in Battle Chips, you also need some, like people who never understand coding knowledge, right? Is it something that even parents can pick up?
Oh, yes. Definitely, because there's a lot of times where we would have to test the game when it was still in the building stage, right? We would have to test the games with various people to try to make them see if there's any loopholes, any things that people just don't understand. So we played the game with a lot of people. We had to bring in a lot of people, family, friends, all this, just to try and debug the game.
Debug?
Yeah. But yeah, we had to do all those just to kind of iron out the game so that people understand. And most of them really understood the game in terms of, they might, let's say like for parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
They might not have grasped the coding concept of it, but they understand exactly what this card does. Like the while loop, when you put it under the for two times, all this, they will know how the structure works in terms of like the command.
Okay, that sounds good. Because I think most people will play board games with family, right?
Yeah.
I think this is a must to have. Unless you're playing like D&D. Actually, wait, D&D also you play with family.
You play with friends.
Mostly
you
friends. Unless you're okay with role playing from your parents. Like
the mom. Your mom is an elf. Okay, the elf is captured. Oh, the dad have to save this, or you have to let her die. Yeah. Or you let mom die. Yeah, but okay, for someone that is like being part of this like Kickstarter project.
Yeah.
Like, what are your struggles, you know, when you have this intellectual property that is not really well known as compared to other board games like D&D or like Pathfinder? Was there a lot of like stakes for you, like money wise or gaining audience, you know?
So I would say definitely gaining audience, but was the most hardest because there's already a competitive like field where everyone already has a board game, a card game that's already dominating all the market. So trying to come in with a new idea where it's like potatoes, pirates, and then there's coding involved. Mm. It's something that probably stands out, but more people don't really know about it. So gaining the audience was a bit harder because we would need to send out a lot of like marketing materials. We would send out a lot of emails.
Oh, to who though?
Mostly people who are educators, teachers, schools. Ooh. Telling them about the game. Because since this one is more catered towards students, kids, parents, educators who want to kind of use this as a way to teach programming.
Ooh, okay.
We had to reach out to them first before we could kind of reach out to board game enthusiasts, card game enthusiasts, and stuff like that.
I see. Okay. So that means those are like your target audience. Then you make it well known first, or you make it well known first, then you go to your target audience.
More like you go to your target audience first, tell them about the idea, and then you go like make it well known by marketing it out, putting out ads for everything.
Oh, okay.
Kind of thing. And then like you let, how they do it is they let people who are like more higher up in terms of media, like let's say they got an article from Forbes, New York Times, all this.
Wow.
But by that, they would probably need to play the game. So you need to get them the game first. Get them a game, let them play, see if they like it. Then they will put up a review and then put it up on your website. And then we can kind of quote that website, say like, these people mentioned us. You know, we actually know what we're doing, the kind of thing. So, doing all that would probably create the audience. But we need to make a lot of work for real. Like. Need to really put yourself out there.
You have to be thick skin.
Yeah, definitely have to be thick skin.
Okay. We're going to try that for a podcast. Go to Forbes, ask them to...
ask them what?
Most listened to podcast in Singapore.
Oh, bro, in the world. Think big.
In the world.
One day.
BBC News.
Oh. Yeah, bro. Why not BBC? Just go to Elon Musk.
Just call him
the most richest person in the world. Definitely can do something about it.
Yeah.
Confirm. Oh, it's my turn, is it?
Yeah.
I don't want to keep looking at me. So
keep it real.
I mean, you can share with us if you're comfortable, but we're not so sure how the Kickstarter thing is. So what do you do with the extra funds from the Kickstarter? Do you use it to enhance your board game, or do you give it to donations or
whatever? Or you go vacation with it?
No, definitely not. So, basically what happens is like, the money that we ask for the pledge, right, is basically the bare minimum that we need to kind of manufacture the game. So, what else that we needed is basically the money will go into more like resources, into like, because we don't only do the board games.
Yeah.
We also on the side do workshops for schools and companies that they want to teach
coding.
Potato pirates and like coding, right? So like there's a lot of times where they would have to go down to the Google company or like Apple company.
Wow.
They have to kind of teach workshops on how programming works to their maybe like the beginner, like interns or workers that want to learn about programming, all this. It's kind of like an icebreaker game kind of
stuff. I see. Oh,
so
nice.
not only this, we do a lot of secondary school, primary school workshops also. So these kind of things take resources, time, effort also. So most of the stuff go into that. Manufacturing, because we have to make sure that stuff like files and all these are perfect for China to kind of design and manufacture.
Oh, okay.
So that one also takes a lot of resources. Nice. So it's kind of definitely going into maintaining the game and making it better.
I see. I think that's a lot of things that people don't know.
Yeah, I think can buy Lamborghini or what.
Yeah, it's a lot of background stuff that people don't
You guys use
understand.
My tax money for what?
So please keep buying this game. Let them improve and go to more workshops in the world.
I mean, we would also, if we want to make like a next game, we would also need the funds to start manufacturing them in the first place. So definitely do support us.
Nice. We will. Definitely. I'll order them. Okay. What is it like to be an artist and then learning about marketing at the same time? Do you take like business courses online or?
Okay. It's actually a very weird so-called situation where this was right after army, coming out of army. So like I didn't know what to do because I was trying to apply for jobs, everything getting rejected and stuff like that.
Same here. I know.
We all know. Care about you. It's about Gajandra today.
Gajandra to be late lah.
Sorry for interruption. Go ahead, Gajandra.
So basically, I was applying for a lot of places, and then there was this one place that said, "Kodomo, they need someone with like." It's kind of like the, what's the thing called, the work study program. So what you do is you take like a course in marketing and business in Ngee Ann Poly while you're working wherever that you are.
The company pay for your studies, right?
Yeah, they pay for it. But like how it works is during like certain days, you have to be taking part in the course, the class. So like some of the days I would have to go to the class instead of go to work. So it's throughout that Ngee Ann Poly course, it was a 1 year contract basically. So throughout the Ngee Ann contract, it was kind of like a normal class. You were just going into class, learning about marketing, business, how it works. And actually, they were actually more looking for someone with the marketing kind of job aspect. But when I went there, they only had a freelance artist who already had another job. Who was very hard into delivering some certain assets. So when I was there, I was like, I also can draw. So they pulled me into drawing more of the assets, and then they could see that okay, I can kind of handle myself there. So ever since that, I was more into doing the art side than the marketing side. But saying like after doing all the art stuff, once the Kickstarter like finished. It was starting to go back into marketing already because you needed to
promote
the game, need people to come and buy it also, right? So I had to start doing like social media content, reaching out to people in emails.
You go do TikTok?
No, that's something that we were recently looking into to starting the TikTok because it was getting a lot of traction and it was already on our radar. So yeah, definitely one of the aspects was marketing. It was hard because like as I said, I was mostly my head is just full of like
art stuff.
Like I don't know, anatomy, color theory, all this. And then people are like, oh, you need to start doing articles, backlinks. I'm like, huh? What is all this?
Beyond your job scope.
Definitely it was beyond my job scope. But I had to learn. There were a lot of colleagues that were very nice and accommodating. They taught me most of the stuff.
But you did a damn good job, lah. I mean, the three Kickstarters, it exceeded your target goals.
Definitely. I mean, that one is not just me. It's like the whole team effort,
in general. Everyone is part of the whole machine.
Good job, 90%.
I mean,
just kidding, lah.
Not to brag, lah. But
Kickstarter, right? If it's successful, 10, 90. Can? Alright, let's go.
Yeah.
Okay, so from there, moving on. Because, you know, nowadays, card games, right, they are transitioning into mobile and PC games. Like, if you know Pokemon, they have the trading card game. Duel Masters, so Yu-Gi-Oh. You see like potato pirates moving into that realm sometime in the future.
Right. Yeah, definitely. It's interesting you ask that because like we have been looking into doing that. We already kind of decided on making like a little mobile game for the battle chips. But because of how resource heavy and manpower is needed for that, right, we kind of dropped it first. Because this was during the time of our life. I mean, like Kickstarter going live.
Priorities.
So yeah, we had to make sure the card game is out first before the mobile game.
Yeah. Okay.
There was like a whole little trailer that we even like planned out and did with game assets, and there were programmers also in the background doing stuff. So, but then we just like the boss was like, okay, never mind. I think we have to drop this because it's too time consuming. Mm. It's gonna take a long time. So they said like they would probably pick this up later on, but just not now.
Stay tuned, you guys. I'll be downloading it for sure.
Yeah.
Imagine if it's like the I don't want to put expectations put too much pressure. Because like, there's some
we wanted it to be like a turn-based thing. Like I don't know, it was more gonna be like, you know, Hearthstone.
That's the one thing that I wanted to say. Nice.
That's the thing. It was kind of gonna be like Hearthstone, but you know, like the cartoony feel of it.
Family friendly.
Yeah, definitely. Something has to be easy for people to pick up.
Oh, okay. Wow. Any of us play Hearthstone? Okay.
Two of the non-speaking members are playing Hearthstone.
That will be our fit. Not within the conversation.
Should we give them the mic and?
Wow, that's good to know, man.
Yeah.
I think Hearthstone still is popular.
It's still,
still going strong.
I mean, like nowadays, you can see like a lot of card games also going online. Like I've seen like Uno also go online.
Oh yeah, yes.
Monopoly
is also online.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like all of these games are really transitioning already. So definitely it has to somehow transition so that kind of stay relevant in the field.
I think it's the convenience factor.
Yeah, that's
definitely. One thing that people will definitely go into.
And it also kind of expands people how you get to kind of play with other people rather than just family friends who come to your house you go out and play with them. Now it's like you can play with anyone online.
The world,
you can have someone playing with you in the US or you know Canada or like somewhere else. Yeah.
Maybe we can play with you also, like online. Don't know, suddenly match you online.
Suddenly.
Legend 27.
Legend 27.
Isn't this the number one ranked player in Potato Pirates?
Yeah. But staying on this topic, right, in your personal opinion, apart from it being time consuming and the difference in medium, right, what do you think is the difference between designing a video game and a physical board game?
Ooh, okay. Mm. So, definitely both of them are not fun to playing the games are amazing. It's fun. It's super fun. But making them is a nightmare.
S without
torture.
S without a spin. Spin without the S.
Yes. Spin without the S. S without the S. So, like making these games, like, it's not... I mean, it's similar in its... in a sense where it's like you do have to make assets, you do have to make sure the game is developed properly, but the one or at least a few aspects that are different is that you need to make sure of like if the build of the game, let's say you're making like board game, right? You need to make sure the board is good, like meaning in terms of would it break apart easily, would it how do you say, like, is it easy to understand how the board works? How the when you open up the box, would you be able to see everything that you have?
Right.
The box insert, the manual, you must make sure the manual is easy to read, able to understand.
It's like architecture for a board gamer.
Yeah, exactly. Like for games wise, once you're done with the game, you put it out and then it's like you just start waiting for people to see if there's any problems with it, and then you fix it, and then you just update it. Yeah. But the game wise, board game wise, once you have the thing done and you send it out, there's no way to change it already.
Yeah.
There's no updating it.
So, hey, pass back, I want to change a bit.
Yeah, exactly. So you need to make sure before it goes out, everything is in tip-top condition. So that's how you, that's why you give it to certain people and make them, ask them if there's anything wrong with it, anything you would like to change, blah, blah.
Were there any like very huge complaint to the designer?
There was, for the second game, Enter the Spartanet, there was a problem with the colored tokens. There was one, the purple tokens were more pinkish than purple.
You sure they're not colorblind?
I mean,
but customers always right, bro. Yeah.
I mean, yes. No, but it was like, it was noticed only once we started getting the products. And then at first we would say like, if they were to let us know that, hey, my one is more pinkish, and then we will tell them that, okay, we will send you out a new set of like tokens for you to use.
But isn't it more limited edition?
Like, yeah, bro.
Charizard card, some of them are like miscolored different text print, right?
Yeah.
It's more valuable.
So, that's true. More pink than purple. Limited edition.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you, thank you.
Now you can sell this NFT.
Yeah, anything can sell nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually. But in terms of making the board game, you must make sure it's tip-top condition before you send it out, because after that you can't really do anything to it.
True.
So we also know that AR and VR exist now, so do you think we are close to like integrating video games which are digital with board games that we have now, so maybe one day we can play the game with the VR.
Then your mic put where?
We got the VR goggles. So I think we are close to that future. No?
And I think I'd like to add on that. Yeah. Because you know Facebook or Meta just created like their own Black Mirror
That's waiting for Black Mirror to happen again.
Season.
So maybe you don't even have to be play physically. You can just use your avatar and play with your friends online.
Right now I feel it's almost there already, to be honest. Like, I don't know if you guys know about this. There's this place called boardgame.io or Tabletop Simulator where you're literally...
Oh, yeah.
It's basically a 3D space where you... It's on Steam, by the way, the Tabletop Simulator. So basically what you do is people have made assets for the card game and all this, right? And it's like a round table, and when your friends join in, they join in like, you know, how those games in poker, the mobile games, right? They join the same thing, but like in a 3D space. Wow. And then you can set the rules, you can kind of program it in a way that, let's say, you click on this button, two cards will come out to everyone, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's already happening now. I feel like AR and VR stuff, it wouldn't be too far off, like, I would say. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's already, like I don't know if you guys saw the game for the Monopoly one, the new one, where it's like...
Yeah.
I forgot what it's called.
Was it VR?
It's not VR, but like it's very, how to say, intense in graphics. Like, I guess like you are traveling across the board, and then there's like a lot of animations.
Oh shit! Okay. Like
Yeah.
So you're like physically that pawn.
Yeah, you're physically that pawn. Like, how to say? I mean, I watched a lot of playthroughs of it. That's why I'm like very aware of these kind of like Fenta. Games happening already.
Oh.
So definitely VR is just kind of attaching a VR camera to the point of view of the person. As well. I think it's not really going to be that far off or very long until we see that.
I think if you put in the Meta stuff, it will be more like your whole body will be inside, you know?
Yeah.
And then
you imagine like Farmville.
Sponsor you also.
Farmville.
Hey, but it's a simulator, so I mean, no one's complaining.
Yeah. You go on the train, all the auntie all put
hey, it's like Black Mirror shit. Play mahjong.
No lah, the Farmville. Farmville Candy Crush
Society.
No, that tapping fishing game.
Oh, they can see their hands are putting the token.
It was a meal lie.
Same song.
Lie liao, lie liao.
Used to be already, I got it. Auntie got it.
Okay, then right, because for poly, since you study also same as us, game design, game art.
Oh yeah, so I think we never mentioned that, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We are all from the same school.
Yeah, all from the same school.
Alright, surprise.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, so you've been shown from MYP that you know how to do like 3D, 2D, all the generalist kind of stuff. And in addition, you also made a 3D sense to do toy making, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I did.
Yeah, so actually, with all this expertise in your caliber right now, can you tell us more about your art journey from like NYP, then why the sudden change to go to like the toy making thing?
Right. Okay, so before even NYP, I already had interest in art for a very long time. When I was very young, honestly, you can ask my mom. She threw away all my drawings.
Oh, man.
No, as in, like, I would always be doodling on paper. And then when I was young enough that I knew that crayons and color pencils exist, I would be drawing on the walls and stuff. So I couldn't afford that a lot, actually. But I had an interest in drawing for very long. And then when I knew that there's a whole, course on game art and stuff where you're making games, you're drawing the art for it and stuff like that. I wanted to join in, so I applied for the JPSA, the special one where they look at your portfolio and see whether you're ready to go in for NYP.
The JAE?
When it was called JPSAE.
Something like direct
special,
admission.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, not JPEG, JPEG.
No, JPEG. That would have fit more.
Oh my god. That would have
gone. Not JAGUAR.
Jaguar.
Oh
my god.
Sorry
for interrupting.
So, like, after getting into that, I learned way more on. Because I was doing mostly traditional, like, drawings. It was just kind of seeing what's on the screen and then just trying to draw that. And then when it started becoming more 3D and more digital, it was a bit more daunting. It was quite hard to grasp because there was a lot of way more things going into it than I realized, like perspective, like color theory. And I mean, for color theory, it's a bit hard for me because I'm also like red green color deficient. So it's so it's a bit hard for me to kind of get certain colors.
Oh, that's interesting. Right. So, like, how do you differentiate, like, based on your, like, how do you see red as?
Okay, no, I think, like, the colors are fine. Like, I know certain colors. The only problem is, like, dark green, dark brown, I cannot tell the difference.
Oh.
Or, like, dark blue and purple, I cannot tell the difference. Like, they look the same to me.
Quite close.
I have to kind of compensate how to find it. Like, in terms of digital, I can find exactly where brown is, where purple is, and all this.
Yeah.
But, like, in terms of real life, right, I would have to connect it different way. Like, let's say you ask me what the tree trunk color is. I would know it's brown because tree trunks are brown.
Yeah. Or what, like, is it?
That's what my kindergarten taught me. So, like, stuff like that, I would have to connect it in a different way and kind of find out what it is. But if you tell me, like, you bring me a paint can or, like, just say, what color is this? I wouldn't be able to tell you. I'll just be like, brown? Like, with a question mark? And I wait for the reaction. He's like, yeah, it's brown.
Yeah, I do that. Oh, okay. I mean, like, so far you've been doing all this art thing with that, I would say, color deficiency.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So remember how I said that there were people saying the tokens were purple.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so that's like part of the design flaw.
I wasn't in charge of what the color was.
Okay.
Like, when they were saying, like, hey, some of these are purple, we need to check all of them that we have on the, are they purple or blue? And I was like, in my mind, like, fuck, shit, okay. I mean, they know of my color deficiency. They don't know how bad it is, but they know how I have one. So when, like, we are separating the blues and the purples, there was a lot of purple getting mixed in. They were like, they were getting confused. Like, hey, why is this here? Why is this here? Then they realized, like, I'm doing it. So they're like, hey, Kajan, you're putting the purple inside. Like, oh, sorry.
Oh, so
it was a bit hard. Which is why I kind of turned in. I mean, at first, during NYP, it was more of the 2D aspect because I liked doing it.
Yeah.
And then when I discovered the 3D part, when we started taking modules for 3D, right, it was way more involved in the sense where you're sculpting the model or like the prop or whatever. And it was way more interesting to me because, it was a lot of hands-on feel to it. Like you were literally chiseling something out of
clay.
Out of clay or like the whatever madcap they have over there. But like... after that, I kind of tried to dwell into both, 3D was more interesting to me. Like, I really like doing it. I like to spend hours on doing the 3D part. But I knew that I felt more comfortable with 2D doing it. I know that I'm not as good in 2D, but I know that, like, 3D, I can be more expressive with that.
Right.
And I know how to, like, have a finished product with 3D rather than 2D.
Yeah.
So that's why I went into the 3D Sense sculpting course, because one, it was something very interesting to me, because you're making toys which you have to kind of literally sculpt it out of clay, but in real life, like, they're giving you the clay, you have your idea, you kind of start sculpting it and stuff like that.
So you like the tangible feel of, like,
yeah, exactly,
of, like, doing from scratch.
Yes, exactly. That's basically what the whole course teaches you about how to do making it from scratch instead, because nowadays, even current sculpture companies, all these toy making companies, they use ZBrush already.
They already
went to ZBrush. But how, why the course is teaching you from like scratch is because they want you to kind of have it as a like
foundation.
Yeah, like a foundation, more like a, like it's a kind of like a dying art. So it's once everyone goes into digital, people who can make using their own hands, it's going to be more valuable in the long run, because their whole, like, time and effort went into it, and then you go for more money and to make money from it also. But it's more of a hobby-ish that I wanted to try out. And since it was offering a diploma as well, I was like, sure, that's a double whammy for me.
Nice. Yeah, Gujan has a double diploma, guys.
Yeah.
Which Gordon will be asking about.
So, so does having two diplomas mold your design abilities to be better? And what would you say are the takeaways behind having a second diploma?
Okay, so honestly, I would feel like in Singapore, it doesn't really matter that much having two diplomas because no one really asks for it. Like, they won't. Most of the, let's say, websites and whatever, who ask, what's your highest qualification? You can't say, I have two diplomas. You just say, I have a diploma. So, like, it doesn't really make a significant change. It's more of how much it impacts you as a person. Because I've learned a lot more about so-called anatomy, posing, manufacturing, how, maybe, like, how long does resin take to cure
or something.
Like, the certain things that probably digital won't let you know about, like how, what are the drawbacks of using resin, what are the drawbacks of using airbrushing and stuff like that. You wouldn't know unless you have yourself dwelling into the aspect.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you can make like a sculpture of your potato.
Yeah.
For
I mean, answer for NFT.
Send me a physical product as an NFT.
But man, have you? I thought it's mostly digital. Wasn't it the whole?
You can like scan it.
Well, we can make it.
I mean,
we can photogrammetry scan it in.
Oh, oh shit. Yeah, that's
a good idea.
Please scan it.
Actually, a lot of people already been going into that. Not the scanning. I mean, more like 3D scanning a physical product and then putting it online. But like more like selling it as a printable file that people can 3D print it and then kind of, I don't know, design it their own way or something.
Wow. 5,000 Ethereum.
Ooh,
5,000 Ethereum.
Wow.
5,000 Ethereum.
You can buy over 4.6. You can buy over Kodomo already.
I can buy over Kodomo.
Now they work for you.
Oh my god.
Kodomo 5 is an NFT.
Wow.
A company goes up as an NFT.
Oh my god. Wow. No, we're not bringing down anyone. It's an ownership.
Mostly, okay, this one is what most of our lecturers said. I'm not sure whether you've heard it. Most of our classmates or friends, right? They change like careers after graduating. So have you ever had a change of heart or adopted the courses you were studying in NYP or like
Sense? So yes, definitely. I've seen so many people like doing way more, doing way more and way better with their lives in different aspects of work. I've had those doubting moments all the time, where like I don't know if I'm doing art is a correct way of kind of having a future or like making enough money to like support my like future family or this. I wouldn't know because I never really went into like a good high paying job where they you are very recognized in what you do. So yeah, I definitely thought of switching like profession, like maybe to like, you know, something to do with business or marketing also, because I see a lot of people have not say profited, but more like they have more of a safer, more comfortable way of living when they are in that kind of field. And that's what I thought, like maybe I should go into that. But definitely doing, I want to be doing art and any form of art when I'm like, you know, settling down in life, doing my own work. I wanted to become an art teacher. That's like my end goal. So yeah, that's like my end goal. So I'm trying to have like, how is it? I'm trying to make my way there slowly. So I would say I did kind of doubted it and want to change my course or what I'm studying or my profession in per se, but like it's still something that draws me back. Like I love doing the art stuff way more than I would want to learn about marketing or business, that kind of thing.
Would you ever consider like your plan C if your art didn't
plan C,
or
become lecturer at NYP.
Become lecturer at
NYP.
Actually, I wouldn't mind, honestly. But I wouldn't mind going back to NYP.
Okay, we'll link you up with Lina Tay.
Why specifically her?
Or maybe we can ask Mr. Tsifeng.
All our past like.
Oh, actually, yeah. I've been in contact with him quite a few times.
How's he doing?
No. Just casually.
Hey, bro. Got lobang.
He follows us, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh,
he follows us.
But also, like, if you do become a lecturer at NYP or like any other like polys or schools, right? What would you want to teach there?
Oh.
Like, to illustration, 3D. Maybe like the hand sculpting.
Or swimming.
Yeah.
What?
Swimming? Game art and design. This module on swimming. But definitely, I would say something that I'm comfortable doing probably is 2D. I mean, maybe in the future I'm more comfortable with 3D, but I would probably switch to that. But like, in terms of right now, if you ask me, I would say 2D. 2D, maybe in character design?
Figure drawing, figure drawing.
Oh yes, figure drawing. Yes, yeah. I love anything when it's involving like
traditional mediums. Is it?
Yeah, traditional mediums. Actually, mostly now I'm mostly doing it on my iPad, so it's digital. But in terms of anatomy and all this, right, I'm more interested in like the forms of how certain poses are. So basically, maybe if you ask me, maybe an anatomy teacher. 2D.
Okay.
Yes.
We'll link up Mr. Tay.
Mr. Tay. Oh, you have
Mr. Soren.
Mr. Soren. No. Mr. Soren scold me too many times.
I also got gun on you.
But it's called tough.
Yeah.
Life, right?
Yeah. When did Mr. Soren have like a character arc change?
Yeah, I think it was suddenly.
Suddenly he's nice. Everyone's saying he's the nicest teacher. I'm like, no, that's not what he was.
You guys can't see, but Afik is making that horrified face.
I have a couple of friends who are in NYP now, and he says like Soren is like super nice.
Oh,
he's like the nicest one of all of them. I'm like, huh? How did that happen?
We need him in our podcast,
bro.
Yeah, we need Islam and Mr. Soren.
The next day, picks him in the podcast. Well, that's interesting. I think it's because like he got kids already, so he has
to change
down low.
Yes.
Like, hey, I cannot be like a topology to my kid. I have to learn 3D. I have to be a Navy diver. Sorry, sorry.
he's coming for you already.
Sorry, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
He's not fierce. He's like very
stern.
Very stern. Yeah.
Yeah, he is. He's very stern. And that's what gives off his scary energy.
Yeah. I mean, if you are not listening to his class and watching YouTube videos while he's
press keyboard then.
Yeah, pressing or press keyboard.
You have to sit at the side of the class.
Yeah,
this boy. This boy likes to be sent out.
No, I had to sit at the side of the class. Because I was, my friend was presenting. I think Simon was the shoebox. Then when my friend was presenting, then I was teasing my friend. He's not here, he's Glenn. I was pressing the keyboard. Then Mr. Soren looked my direction. Then he asked me to sit at the side. Sit at the side.
Sit outside.
You don't listen to your friend's presentation?
No, that's the thing. Like, I've always listened to all his lessons. And then when you have a question, right, he likes to come up to you and be, what do you think?
Oh, like, oh my god.
I'll be like, I mean, sorry, Mr. Sorry.
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm thinking like, that's why I'm asking you.
I mean, if you guys didn't know, like, I think nowadays lecturers have their own like YouTube videos or how to showcase your lesson. Right? And I think Mrs. Soren has a very monotone voice.
Yeah.
No offense.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good that you have a YouTube video that is 4 or 5 minutes long or 1 hour long. Mm. But with having that and with a monotone voice, I don't think it works.
Speaking of this,
I'm still shit for the win.
Yeah. I mean, you guys can make it more fun when you turn on the YouTube's auto caption.
Yeah.
But I think aside from that, I think what's most important thing about like having board games is like if you compare that with like all the online stuff, like in my opinion, having to play physically makes the bond more like stronger.
Strong.
Yeah.
If you have like online things, it'll be very
like that, it's okay. Find online girlfriend.
Ah, exactly.
Yeah.
It won't
be the same as Ebo Hotel.
Yes.
Looking for girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly.
How was it?
But it's like, if you would compare that to like physical affection towards like board games or anything, I mean, it's totally different experience really.
Yeah.
That's why you have like Play Nation, all that still existing because people are still going there because of like
the company.
The physical attraction.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And you laugh together like, hey, we are AFK. If it's, cannot do that, what?
Cannot. Be right back. I go take lunch.
I mean, nowadays, I think ever since the COVID thing, right? It's like everyone feels a bit more alienated, regardless of how sociable you are now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like you really have that the COVID vibe already in you.
Yeah.
Yes. In your DNA. Mm-mm. It's like alienation is really part of your life, and I think like having to have the physical touch of board games, right? We need it more now than ever. Like to bring us back to how it was last time, you know, to be more humane, to be more like in touch with each other. Or it's becoming more dramatic.
And also with Christmas coming.
Yeah, and Christmas
for your family and friends.
I've already started making like marketing materials for like Christmas and Black Friday.
Oh, nice.
Because you have to make them because, you know, that's when the sales
will come in.
Yeah, will come in. So and people will be getting last minute gifts, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So go grab some good idea. Chips.
Yeah.
For your family and friends
again,
this
I'll
Christmas.
I'll be buying
10. Okay. Yeah. 50.
You
buy la.
Yeah, but if you guys want to know more about like Gajendran's journey in his 2D and 3D art, you can follow him on his Instagram at Gajendran Art.
Art, yeah.
Yeah, that is GAJANDRANART.
Yes.
Then if you want to know more about the Potato Pirates Battle Chips or you want to get your own, you can just go to potatopirates.com.
Yeah.
Dot game. Potatopirates.game.
Yeah.
And when is it going to be released?
It's already, we're already sending the manufacturing files. It should be ready to be sold and to people about February.
Next year, February. It should
be ready to be like, you know, once you buy it, you would get it within a few weeks. It's probably around February.
So far already. Yeah.
Close already.
I mean, as compared
to Chinese New Year.
Oh, Chinese New Year.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of games, there's still two more games that's already ready to be bought, which is the first game, Potato Pirates, and then Enter the Spartan, the board game.
Yeah, guys. Nice. Like definitely the whole journey, you have to get full experience, get the first and second one.
Yes.
Buy 10 each.
By 10 each. For your family and friends also.
You know, you have to stock up on gifts.
Yeah, bro. I mean, if you never give any gifts for this Christmas, there's always the next one.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, there's birthday.
What should I get him? Oh, yeah, the one that I get last year. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. You become that guy.
Yeah. It's like, hey, I got you this gift. Oh, thanks,
I wonder what this is.
Oh, my God. I'm surprised. It's another Potato Pirates game.
Yeah, man.
But, yeah, I think...
Yeah, so however, I really wish we could ask more questions about your journey in Kodomo and Potato Pirates Better Chips. But due to the liberty of time, this marks the end of our episode for today. And before we end, do you have any last words for our listeners?
No, not really. Thanks. Please guys, support us if you can. PotatoPirates.game. Try to get it as soon as you can. We're gonna have a Black Friday sale soon, where it's about to be like about 50% up to 50% discount. Mm. So please do get your games as fast as you can.
Nice.
Nice.
So thank you so much, Gajendran, for sharing your unique passion to us welcome, and to our listeners.
Thanks for having me.
Hope that your passion will grow brighter in the road ahead. And if you want us as Easter eggs in your game, also can also.
Sure.
That's a bit too much.
I would bring it up. I will let them.
Well, so you see that.
Yeah.
If you guys want to know more about
Pretenders,
right? So since Hasid said all that already, please give us a follow on Spotify, Instagram at Passion Food Podcast
SG.
Like, share, and comment on this episode. So Instagram post on your favorite board game. Make sure it's Potato Pirates, huh?
Sure.
So D&D, yeah. Please tag us when you share so that we can repost it on our Instagram story as well.
We have new episodes that are released every
Friday.
So look out for them as well, guys.
That goes Friday, so this is the Passion Food Podcast SG.
Best podcast in the pirate plundering Potato Pirates couch potato
world, yeah.
Christmas Black Friday. And thank you once again, Gajanya, for being here with us.
Yeah, thank you.
And
thank you for having me.
Thanks a bunch to the Academy of Rock and Asma.
Shout out Asma.
Having us here. They're still looking for drum teachers, by the way. Yeah, so those of you that want to create the next Alex Van Halen or anything can check out their Instagram also. And with that being said,
we are the Passion Food Podcast SG.
Signing out.
Bye bye.
Woo.